Okay, turn to Proverbs 10 and verse 8. Going to hopefully cover a couple of verses tonight. Proverbs 10 and verse 8. It says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." This is one of the many verses in Proverbs which contrast the wise man with the fool, and there are lots of them. That's probably one of the biggest themes in the book of Proverbs, is contrasting those two. And we'll look at the first part. The wise in heart will receive commandments. So let's define the terms here. A wise man, or one that's wise in heart, is one that is having or exercising sound judgment or discernment, capable of judging truly concerning what is right or fitting, and disposed to act accordingly, having the ability to perceive and adopt the best means for accomplishing an end, characterized by good sense and prudence, opposed to foolish. So a person that is wise, and we've been over this definition a number of times, but a person that is wise has good judgment, sound judgment. He can pick out the best end, the end point that he wants to get to, and then figure out what the best means to get there is and make the decisions that would get him to the best place in life or in a certain decision. He has sound and good sense and prudence. It says the wise in heart will receive commandment. Heart, as it's used here, is used in more of a figurative context. And when it's referring to the seat of the feeling and understanding and thought, which is it is here, it means the mind. So it can be, the heart can be synonymous with the mind, although it can also refer to the emotions as opposed to the mind. So we'll see that in the definition here. It's the mind in the widest sense, including the functions of feeling, volition, and intellect. And the Bible uses it in that sense. It talks about the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the heart is where the will and the thoughts, the intellect, come from. It's also the seat of one's inmost thoughts and secret feelings, one's inmost being, the depths of the soul, the spirit. And the Bible also uses it synonymously with the soul and spirit as well. It's also the seat of the emotions generally, the emotional nature as distinguished from the intellectual nature placed in the head. And in this sense, you want to guide your heart, guard your heart when it comes to its emotions. And I'll speak to that here in a minute. So it says the wise in heart will receive commandments. So one more word here, receive. That means to take in one's hand or into one's possession, something held out or offered by another, to take delivery of a thing from another, either for oneself or for a third party. Now that would be more of a natural definition, where you receive something, if somebody hands you something, you take it. But it also can refer to receiving information. And that means to take from another by hearing or listening, to attend, listen, or give heed to. And that's what you're doing right now. You're receiving instruction from the Word of God. You're hearing it, you're taking it in, you're accepting it, you're not rejecting it, right? Hopefully not anyway. So when you put these together, where it says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, a man who exercises sound judgment and discernment, that's being wise, in his thoughts and understanding, and guides his feelings and emotions thereby, will listen to and heed God's commandments. The wise in heart will receive commandments. So he has enough sense to use his intellect and his will to want to receive it, and he has enough sense to let that will and intellect override his feelings and emotions, which are going to war against the information that he's receiving sometimes, because a lot of times the things that are best for us, we don't really like to hear. It doesn't feel good. And if he will do that, then he will listen to and attend, accept God's commandments. He recognizes that all of God's commandments are truth. This is the man that has the wise heart. In Psalm 119 and verse 151, of course, if you had the sense to know that God's commandments are all truth, then naturally you're going to receive them, because that's pretty funny. I don't know where I was before that rude interruption. Psalm 119 and verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. So if you're wise enough to recognize that God's commandments are all truth, then naturally you're going to receive them. Because we live in a world full of lies and deception, and it's hard to figure out what truth is. And if you can find a book and you find out that this is all truth, then naturally you're going to receive that. The man that's wise in heart, he has the sense to realize that God's commandments are for his good. So naturally he's going to receive God's commandments, knowing that they are what's best for his life. We read about that in Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13. So Solomon's just giving us the fact of what the wise in heart does. He receives the commandments, and we're just going to other places in the scripture to see why a person that is wise in heart would receive the commandments. There are all the reasons why he would do that. Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." We don't always recognize they're for our good, right? You just think, I always like to use the analogy of children. Children get commandments from their parents. And how many children say, "Thanks, Dad, thanks, Mom, I know this is for my good"? Right? Of course not, right? They don't view it that way because they're too short-sighted. They can't see the big picture and realize what's for their own good. And many times with the Bible's commandments, we're the same way. We don't recognize that they're for our good. It just seems like it just puts a bunch of limitations on us and restrictions, and we can't do the things we want to do. We can't do all the fun things everybody else is doing, and right, it just seems like it's really cramping us. But it's actually for our good. And just like the kid that just does what his parents say, even though he might not like it and he might not understand why, later on he looks back and he's like, "Oh yeah, that was actually for my good." And if we do the same thing and we keep God's commandments, someday we'll look back and say, "Yep, I'm glad I did it that way. I'm glad I did what God said because it turned out for my good." This man that's wise in heart, he understands that God's commandments teach us what is best, what is the best end for our life in general, or the best end for a particular situation. We actually looked at this verse last week in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5 talks about what the end of the commandment is, like the final goal of it. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5 says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." So that's the end point. That's where we're trying to get to, is charity out of a pure heart. And the person that's wise in heart, he knows how to employ the best means to get to the best end, as the definition told us. So he recognizes that God's commandments will get us to the best end. And they'll also help us figure out the best means to accomplish those ends. It's always important in life to make decisions with the end in mind, not with the immediate in mind. Because if you make decisions with the immediate in mind, you're usually going to make the wrong decision. Because the thing that feels good now usually isn't good for the future, right? It feels good now just think about it. You get your paycheck, and the day after you get your paycheck, and you just blow it on all kinds of stuff. You go out to eat at the big, expensive restaurants, and you just have all kinds of fun with it the first day after the paycheck. Well, it happens the rest of the 2 weeks or the rest of the month, right? I mean, that's just an obvious example. But if you make your decisions with the end in mind, like long-term end, then you'll start making wiser decisions in the immediate because you realize that you're planning for something, you know, far beyond the present. A lot of people get themselves into trouble with short-sighted thinking, just considering what feels good right now versus what will be best for me in the future. And the person who is wise in heart and will receive God's commandments, he knows that God's commandments will make him wiser than he currently is and wiser than his enemies. And so he recognizes, because he is wise, he recognizes that he still has more wisdom to gain. Because we never do arrive. It's not as if once you become wise, then you have nothing more to learn. The wise person still has a lot to learn. In Psalm 19 and verse 7,
could you say that again? So he recognizes that he is wise?
the wise in heart. So he knows that he is wise, but he recognizes that he still has more wisdom to gain from God's commandments. So he'll receive the commandments, realizing that he doesn't know everything. Right? Because there's some people, I believe it or not, I had a friend of mine tell me one time that he didn't really listen to I said, why don't you listen to sermons? Because he was talking about, I forget what he was talking about. Somehow it came up, and I said, you know, you might want to listen to some sermons in the car or something. He's like, you know, I already know all that stuff. And, I mean, that was his, yeah.
Know everything.
Yeah, and I just thought, well, wow, I'm glad you do. But chances are if somebody says, I already know all that stuff, they don't know all that stuff. Because they know enough to realize they don't know all that stuff, and there's a lot more to learn. Psalm 19 and verse 7. Not to mention, have you ever listened to a sermon that you know, maybe you listened to that exact sermon 5 years ago and then you listened to it again, you didn't remember half the stuff you heard, right? I mean, we're prone to forgetting, so it's always good to be reminded of things that you did know. Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So God's commandments, God's word, will make a person wise, will make a simple person wise, which a simple person is not wise, right? He doesn't have much sense. But he can get wise by reading and keeping God's commandments. And if he does so, he can become wiser than his enemies, he can become wiser than his teachers, he can become wiser than the ancients, and he can learn all kinds of things by keeping God's word. Psalm 119 and verse 98. Psalm 119 and verse 98. Says, thou, through thy commandments, remember the wise in heart will receive commandments, thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. Wiser than his enemies, wiser than his teachers. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. So wiser than the old men. Right? You can become wiser than all the people around you just by simply reading this book. And then doing the things that you find in it. So the primary application here of the commandments would be God's commandments. The wise in heart receive God's commandments. But there are also other commandments from other authorities that the wise in heart will receive likewise. Such as, if a person is wise, whether he's a man, woman, child, he will receive commandments from those in authority, such as parents, teachers, husbands, pastors, bosses, civil magistrates, and others. And let me just give you the verses for that. And the reason why he will receive the commandments from those other God-ordained authorities is because God has commanded in his word that those authorities are to be obeyed. So the person that's wise will receive commandments from authorities that God has set up. First of all, parents. We'll start off with the youngest among us. In Ephesians 6 and verse 1, I'm sure you're all familiar with this verse. Be a good memory verse for your children. Teach Braden to memorize this one. And then when he misbehaves, ask him what it says. It's a good idea. Because then you teach him that it's not just me, your dad, or me, your mom telling you to do this. It's God telling you to do this because God's put me in authority and responsibility over you. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So these are obviously commandments, right? Commandments are to be obeyed, and the wise in heart will receive commandments from his parents. He'll also receive commandments from his teachers. In Galatians 4, 1 through 2. Now, of course, this presupposes that the commandments are in accord with God's word and that they're godly. You wouldn't receive ungodly commandments from teachers or from anybody else, for that matter. Galatians 1, 4, 1 through 2, Paul writes here, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. So this is referring to what would happen with a child who is the heir of his father's estate, but while he's a child, his father puts him under tutors and governors. He's got a school teachers, schoolmasters, and he's under them. So in other words, he's receiving commandments from them. And children ought to be taught to obey their teachers, to respect their teachers, to respect adults in general. That's one thing that really irks me when I see kids that don't even, they might respect their own parents, but they won't respect any other adults. Like this, you're not my boss thing. You ever see kids do that? You're not my boss. You're not. Kids ought to be beat when they tell another adult, you're not my boss. Right? Maybe they're not his boss, but you know what? They're an adult. They're an authority of some kind, and the child ought to respect them. And then husbands, Titus 2 and verse 5. If you want to score yourself a lot of points with the people of this world, just quote them this verse. They'll love you for it. Titus 2 and verse 5, the older women are supposed to teach the younger women, it says here. Verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So obedient to their own husbands, meaning the husband is giving out commandments, right? And the wife ought to obey them. That's what the scripture teaches. I think I told you one time I had a friend that was trying to match me up with this, some kind of a date, this girl that she knew at work. And we were communicating over email. This is long, many years ago. And I just quoted this verse, and I don't even know what I was talking about. It had nothing to do with obedient to her own husbands. And she latched onto that and said, I don't think women should have to obey their husbands, and da-da-da-da-da. And needless to say, that was pretty much the end of that correspondence. So got rid of her right away. I was glad that that happened inadvertently like that.
She got rid of you.
Yeah, okay. It was a mutually beneficial thing there. And then pastors, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. This is referring to the pastors who are called overseers. Overseers watch for your souls. They watch over you. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And then in verse 7, he's talking about the same people here. He says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. So the pastors, obviously. So that's another authority that issues commandments that are to be received, because God says so. And then we have bosses at work, or even to the point, if you were an indentured servant, if you were a slave and you had a master, the Bible teaches that the master is supposed to be obeyed. In Colossians 3:22. His servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So they were servants are to obey their masters, not just with eye service, not just, you know, while he's looking, or not just, you know, giving him lip service, just to please him when he's there, but because you genuinely fear God and you realize that when you do work for your boss, you're doing work for God, because God has ordained that that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do all of our work as if we're doing it unto the Lord. And then civil magistrates. So we're kind of going up the, you know, from the lowest, the smallest level within the family and parents, and then branching out from there till we get the whole way up to civil magistrates in Titus 3 and verse 1. These are other people that we should receive commandments from when they're actually doing their God-ordained duty, which they don't do all that often, but when they do it, we ought to receive their commandments as well. Titus 3 and verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So the wise in heart will receive commandments from all of these authorities when those authorities are exercising their God-given authority within their realm and their defined parameters. But a prating fool shall fall. So now we have a contrast here between the wise in heart that receive commandments, and on the other side of that is a prating fool. Obviously, the prating fool will not receive God's commandments, and therefore he'll fall, because that's the contrast. The wise in heart receive commandments, but... So whatever comes next, you know that this guy doesn't do what the previous guy did. The wise in heart received the commandments, the prating fool won't receive them. And that's why he falls. It doesn't specifically say that in the verse, but you can reason that out. Why does he fall? Because he won't receive the commandments. Right? He's not going to hear God's commandments. He's going to do things his own way. And you know what happens when you do things your own way? Right? You end up tripping and falling because you're not following the Lord. You're walking in darkness, and it's hard to do that without stumbling. A fool is one deficient in judgment or sense, one who acts or behaves stupidly, a simple person, a simpleton. In biblical use, applied to vicious or impious persons. And I thought this is interesting. I included this. It's not part of the definition. It's kind of like a note that the writer of the dictionary included. And it says, the word has in modern English, which modern English is actually 1611 English, right? Today is not modern English. Today's postmodern or newspaper English or whatever you want to call it. But modern English, if you ever read about modern English, it's talking actually about like 17th century, you know, 1600s English. People talk about the King James being Old English. Old English, that actual phrase goes back to like 1300s English that you couldn't even read. It would be so foreign to you. It looked like it's almost a foreign language. And then you have Middle English, which was in the 1500s, you know, getting up closer to the time the King James was written. And modern English was, like Shakespearean English is modern English, by definition, anyway. It says, anyway, the word has in modern English a much stronger sense than it had at an earlier period. It is now an implication of insulting contempt which does not in the same degree belong to any of its synonyms or to the derivative foolish. So the word fool in modern English, in King James English, is a very strong word which describes a very bad person, a very stupid person, not just somebody that does silly things or something like that, the class clown, as I've said before, but you're talking about somebody who deserves insulting contempt, like a real low life of a person when it talks about a fool. So it says a prating fool shall fall. Now, fools are bad enough, but prating fools are even worse. Prating is an old word that you probably weren't aware of what the definition was. It means... Prating is that prates, idle, talking idly, chattering. And to prate is to talk, to chatter, usually dislogistic, implying, speaking much or long to little purpose. You're laughing because you probably have met people like this, right? Formerly also to speak insolently, boastfully, or officiously, to tell tales, blab. So a prating fool is a fool that talks a lot, and he's not the college professor that gives an hour-long dissertation on something useful. It's the guy that talks just as long about nothing to hear himself talk and irritates everybody else around him. And, you know, I'm sure we've all met people like this that just can't shut up. They just talk and talk and talk. They don't take a breath. They don't let anybody else talk. You have to interrupt them. You ever meet? I mean, I've met people like this. I'm thinking of one right now. It's nobody that you know. But anyway, they can't stop talking. And I don't like to interrupt people. I'm more of an introvert. Extroverted people love to interrupt. I mean, you get two extroverted people together and they just talk over each other the whole time. Right? But that's not me. I like to, you know, have what's called a conversation, you know, where one person speaks and then they pause and the other person speaks and, you know, you go back and forth like that. But there's some people you just have to interrupt. You have no choice unless you just want to hear a monologue for an hour or so. You just got to jump in there. And
they're not aware that they're doing a monologue.
No. Well, they're not offended either because they're just, you know, that's just the way they do it.
They talk a lot without saying anything.
Yes, they talk, exactly. They talk a lot without saying anything. The Bible is full of admonitions like this that talk about how fools are to be known by their much speaking. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 5. and verse 3. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 3. It says, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business." You ever wonder when you have a dream and maybe you were planting your garden the day before and that night you dream about planting the garden and maybe you were doing it in your underwear in front of a bunch of people or something, you know, like these weird dreams. A multitude of business, right? You're planting the garden and these thoughts are running around your head and then all the other weird stuff, who knows where that comes from. But anyway, a dream cometh through a multitude of business and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Typically, if you want to identify a fool, find the guy that just talks all the time and never listens, never asks any questions, never wants to learn anything, and just yaps constantly. That's a fool. Yes. Yeah, if you exhumed the bodies in a graveyard a long time later, and you examined the jaw bones, and you see they're all worn out and some, those are the fools, yeah. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 14. That's what Kent Hovind said, that they found a cave man or something, supposedly fossilized one, and they said that they determined it was a woman. And they said, how'd you determine that? And he said that the jaw joints were worn out, you know, from talking, because women like to talk more than men, so.
That was not true, right?
No, it was just a joke. No. Ecclesiastes 10:14. And that's not to say that women are fools. They just have more to say. They're built that way. We were out to lunch one time with some friends of mine in Cincinnati, and the little boy was wondering, when are we ever going to go? And the father explained, well, mommy's a girl, and she has got a certain amount of words that she has to get out every day, and she hasn't gotten them all out yet, so we have to stay for a while yet.
That is so cute.
Ecclesiastes 10:14 says, "A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him?" He's full of words. Doesn't say he's full of ideas. He's full of information. He's just full of words. He just has a lot of talking to do. Now, we've reasoned that a prating fool will not receive the commandments, right? And that's why he falls. And let's look at the reason why he won't receive commandments. And I can think of at least two reasons why a prating fool wouldn't receive commandments. Firstly, since he's stupid and deficient in judgment by definition, he doesn't want to receive commandments. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. There's other reasons why he won't receive them, but the first one is he just doesn't want to receive them. And if somebody doesn't want to receive something, good luck. Right? As the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Unless you're Chuck Norris. And he can lead a horse to water and make him drink, as they say. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So he hates instruction from the Word of God, and he's not going to receive it. Proverbs 1:22, "How long, ye simple ones?" These are fools. "Will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." That's hard to believe. You think about it. There are actually people that hate knowledge. They don't want to learn anything about what God has to say. Any true knowledge, they hate it. They don't even want to hear it. Whereas, boy, if I could sit down with somebody and they could explain some things in this Bible that I don't understand, and there are plenty of them, I'd be sitting at that guy's feet just eager to hear it. There's fools, other people, they wouldn't want to hear it if they had the opportunity. Proverbs 18 and verse 2 says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." He doesn't want to understand or learn about God's word. He's more interested in himself. He's self-centered. He's self-focused. He's just interested in himself. And the fools that we're talking about that talk all the time, what do they talk about most? Themselves, right? That's the main subject material there. In Proverbs 23 and verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. He's not going to receive them, he's going to hate them. He doesn't want God's commandments or any other sound sense. Now, the second reason why a prating fool will not receive commandments is because in order to receive commandments, you have to listen. You got to hear, right? Because remember, receiving in the sense of this verse is hearing and, you know, getting it audibly. Well, you ever tried to listen when you're talking at the same time? Pretty hard, right? You can't listen when you're talking. There's one lady that said when she was younger, her dad was getting on her about talking a lot. She says, when you talk a lot, you learn a lot. doesn't really work that well or that way. Now she says, you know, to her defense, that she said, when you talk with a lot of people, you learn a lot, right? That's, now who knows whether that's what she was thinking about as a little girl or not, I don't know. But Proverbs 4 and verse 10. Proverbs 4:10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Now, what in this verse, what comes before receiving? Hearing. You've got to listen. Well, you can't do that when your mouth's always running, can you? Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction. See, there it is again. Same order. Hear and then receive. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So this tells me that it's important for people that are older to still hear counsel and receive instruction. It's not like when you get past a certain age, you have nothing left to learn, right? There's always stuff to learn, no matter how old you are. You can't listen if you're always talking, like I said. Therefore, the prating fool will not hear, receive, nor heed the word of God. And, you know, I've experienced this. We've had visitors in this church before. Some of you that were here, you guys weren't here at that time, but some of you that were here, you know who I'm talking about. They came for a while. Thankfully, they left. But the guy in particular, he did not want to hear instruction. He didn't want to learn anything. He was there to teach, basically. He thought he knew everything. I don't think I've ever met a more arrogant man in my entire life. He was really something. But anyway, when they left, I certainly... I was not calling them up, asking them where they are, that's for sure. I have, from time to time, people that will call me up, too. Sometimes people call me up with questions, right? They're actually looking for the truth. But I've had people that call you up that just, they want to talk, and it's not that they have, you know, some people have problems they want to talk through, and they just need somebody to listen, and that's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. There's people that will call you up, and they basically want to do all the talking. They want to teach you something. They want to explain something to you and all that, and I'm fine with, you know, learning things. But they don't have any, there's no conversation there, there's no seeking any kind of truth. They just want a platform to be able to just to teach somebody something. And if they can get you on the phone for an hour or so, they couldn't be happier. I've had people, there's a guy, he was from just south of here. This is when I lived up in Minneapolis, I think. And he called me up and talked and talked. He wanted to visit the Excelsior Springs Church. This is before I lived down here. He went on and on and on. I pretty much couldn't get a word in edgewise, and I didn't care. People like that, I just let them talk, because I can learn a lot from somebody. Just let them talk. And he wanted to join the church and get baptized, and when are we going to do this, and how is this going to work? And I said, why don't you visit first? It's like he had this whole thing planned out. He hadn't even visited the church yet. And he was just going on, and I just didn't say much. And I said, well, just visit. Well, he didn't even come to visit. Yeah, so
the guy from Independence.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
I wondered.
Yep. But anyway. So, brethren, you don't want to be prating fools. You want to be quick to hear and slow to speak. James 1 and verse 19. Of course, this runs contrary to the nature within all of us. Our nature is to be quick to speak and slow to hear, isn't it? James 1 and verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's been said, and I like it, it's kind of a cliche saying, but God gave you two ears and one mouth, use them proportionally. And so I think there's some wisdom in that old saying. Now, because a prating fool will not receive God's commandments, he will fall. And that's why he falls. In Proverbs 11 and verse 5, it tells us that the wicked man will fall. No, the just man will fall too, seven times, but he keeps getting up, right? The just man stumbles once in a while, but the wicked man is falling because God's setting pitfalls for him. Proverbs 11, verse 5, it says, "The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness," because he doesn't receive God's commandments that curb that wickedness, that explain to him why he should be turning from that wickedness and not doing that, and the punishment and the consequences of that wickedness. He didn't hear any of that, and he's going to end up falling by it. In Proverbs 16 and verse 18, we all know this verse, where it says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." You want to watch out for pride, because that is the pathway to destruction. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. And the wicked will fall into mischief because he doesn't have or heed God's commandments. Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a just man, this verse was in the outline. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You see the difference there. Everybody's going to fall. The just man's going to fall, but he's going to get back up. The wicked's going to fall into mischief. He's not going to get back up. He's just going to continue on in that. And the wicked who won't receive God's commandments is going to fall at once because of his perverse ways. Proverbs 28 and verse 18. Proverbs 28:18 says, "Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once." Which is interesting. That'll segue into the next verse that we're going to look at here in Proverbs. So sometimes in the Bible, when you see something that is mentioned more than once, and in Proverbs you'll see this, there's a few verses in Proverbs that are verbatim repeated, or some of them, in this case, part of the verse is repeated. And that tells me that we ought to consider those things, because if God says something twice, and he doesn't do it by accident, it's not like he forgot that he told you the first time. If he says something twice, it's probably important. And if you go back to Proverbs 10, just two verses down, which we'll probably get to this one next week, he uses that same phrase, but in connection with a different thing here. Proverbs 10:10 says, "He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall." Same thing as he said there in verse 8, a prating fool shall fall. So we ought to take heed to that and realize that if we are fools that talk a lot and don't listen and don't want to receive God's commandments, we are going to fall. We have a fall coming in our future. That takes care of verse 8.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.